The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, August 19th, 2012, if you're listening live. And, of course, it's whatever other day it is and time it is if you're listening to the recording. I would like to welcome you to a beautiful day. At least it is here anyway. And I am once more excited to get underway here. So let's jump right in and get connected more consciously, more experientially. And as we begin that, once more, let's go within and allow yourself to connect with your own divinity, your own mastery, your own light in whatever way works best for you. Allow yourself to breathe into that part of you that is the eternal, that is the ongoing, the part that will survive your departure from this particular physical body, from this particular life. And allow yourself to, with each breath, expand your direct experience of that energy. And even if it's only a microscopic expansion, even if it's only a little bit more presence with that eternal part of yourself, that's enough. And even if it's imperceptible, every time you put forth intention, you do open. Every time you put forth this intention to connect with your divinity, you do open. And so even if it's not reaching a conscious level in this particular moment, in this particular experience, know and breathe into this truth that each time you open this door, it closes less fully after your focus shifts elsewhere. And a little more of your light leaks out moment by moment from now on. And so allow yourself to breathe into that pulsing. Whether it's a conscious pulsing for you or not in this moment, there is a pulsing that is your own vibration, that is your own divinity. And what we're seeking here is to allow that pulsing, that eternal, into this relative world, into this relative experience. All right. Wonderful. So let's take the next step and ground that connection of our divinity to our divinity, with our divinity. Ground that connection into these dimensions and bring it in as fully as we can. And by doing this next piece, by opening to connect with our Mother Earth, that's what we're doing. We're taking that pulsing of our divinity and allowing it down more fully. So by connecting to the earth, you may actually experience your divinity expand a little bit more. So be open to that. But focus upon allowing yourself to receive that energy from our Mother Earth, her love and support, the eternal energies that are coming from her to us in every moment. And you're not expanding, the love and support that she has. What you're expanding is your willingness to experience that more fully, and ultimately your actual experience of that. And so as you open those doors of your willingness to expand in your experience, her love and her support flows up into you. And allow yourself to connect with whatever gratitude you can for that experience. And allow that gratitude to flow back to her. And as you do that, as you open in that gratitude, you expand the space within you that allows you to experience her love and support. Again, whether that is perceptible in this moment or not, by setting this intention consciously and regularly, you are leaving that doorway open for her light to come in, for her love, for her support to come in regularly, more easily. And so, allow yourself as well to connect with this lifetime and everything you love about being in a body this lifetime around, even if it is only ice cream. Or whatever else you might love. And allow that love to flow down to her, to flow down to our Mother Earth as another aspect of your gratitude. Because that is you loving being in body, loving being in form. And being in form is allowed by being connected with our Mother Earth. And so as you share your love for anything, anyone, any experience in this lifetime, in this body, you're sharing your love with her. So let that go down to her as well. And allow to come up within you any degree to which you would like to support her consciously. And again, this can be anything. Or it can be nothing at a conscious level. That's okay too. Wherever you're at is quite fine. She's not judging you. Her love is unconditional. And allow any degree of support that you would like to offer to her to flow to her as well. And as you open up this love and this energy of support for her, once more, you're making more space to receive her love and support into you. And so allow that flow to be there. Allow yourself to feel that pulsing, the pulse in and the pulse out. This flow, this energy of your relationship with our Mother Earth. Wonderful. And so we go to the next level of connection to expand in the direction we're going here today, and that, as always, is to connect with the divine beings that are here, ready, willing, and able to support you. And allow yourself once more to open first to receiving their love and support, to receiving that coming into you, to whatever degree you can allow that connection to be present, to whatever degree you can allow that experience to be conscious. And, as with Mother Earth, allow your own gratitude for that support, for that love, to go back to them, your angels, your guides, your teachers. Allow your own gratitude to flow back to them for this support that is ever present. Once more, we're not awakening something that's not there otherwise. We're only awakening our conscious awareness of it to a greater degree. And once more, as with Mother Earth, allow yourself to share your love for this lifetime, your love for being in body, to flow out to them. Because whatever they're supporting you in doing, they are supporting you in stepping into and experiencing love. And so when you connect with that love and you are also connecting to them, you are sharing that love with them. They are receiving the blessing of that. And once more, as with Earth, as with our mother, allow yourself to connect with your desire, to whatever degree it's there, to support them in what they are here to do as well. And once more, as we share our gratitude, our love, and our desire to support, out with, out toward these guides and angels, so we open more space to receive their love for us, their support of us. All right, and moving forward once more, let's expand. And this time we're expanding to connect with all the others in this community, the community of exposing the masters within. And this includes me, it includes all of those beings who are my guides and angels and your guides and angels, all of our teachers. It includes each one of us who is actually in body at this moment. And opening up that connection is opening up to receive that energy of love by all means, but it is the energy of that shared intention. Intention is going to open the door. And so as each of us allows our intention to be merged with all the rest, and that intention is for a better life, that intention is for experiencing our mastery more fully, that intention is for enlightenment or empowerment or divinity or mastery. By connecting with that intention that we all share, our own personal aspect of that intention can also expand. And the door that allows that intention out and the door that allows us to manifest back what comes from being in that intention expands as well. And once more, allow yourself to connect with your own gratitude for this expansion, for this love, for this support that's coming from the others in this community. And allow yourself to share that gratitude with the group as well, with this community. And as you do so, again, it opens up. You allow yourself to receive more of that love and support from the community, more of the empowerment of the shared intention. And so, this cycle as well flows. And connect now with your love of anything, anything that you feel you gain from this program, from our connection together, whether it's your first time here, whether you've been here every time since I began, allow that love to come up. And once more, allow that to flow into the community. And as that does, it allows you to receive more of the community's love and support. And once more, whatever intention consciously you may have or feel to support those others in the community, allow that to pour forth now into this shared energy, this shared mass consciousness that we're creating, that we are building upon. And once more, allow yourself to feel, whatever degree you can in this moment, the expansion of what you receive as you share that support. As that support flows out and the space is created for you to receive more. Wonderful. And let's move on to the last level of conscious connection that we choose to do at the beginning of each program, which is with all the rest of humanity. Everyone in body is a light worker. Everyone in body, consciously or otherwise, is seeking divinity through perhaps just a better life, but everyone is seeking it. And once more, whether we are conscious of it or unconscious of our seeking for divinity, as we connect with that shared intention, so we receive the benefits, so we receive the expansion that it creates by coming into mass conscious flow in that direction. And so allow yourself to feel that support and that acceptance. Acceptance of the desire to have things be better, to have things be more empowered. And once more, allow yourself to connect with your gratitude to whatever degree it surfaces in this moment, and allow that gratitude to flow out to all of humanity, the conscious and the unconscious light workers. And as that gratitude goes forth, so you open more fully to receive that shared energy, that shared support for moving in the direction of your mastery. Wonderful. Thank you for indulging me in that, because I enjoyed it. I hope that you do as well. And let's go forward. Today, what I want to begin with is love. And I want to share, well, what was an insight that came just this morning. And it's not that, well, maybe it is. I've never thought this particular thing before. But I've certainly never felt it this way before, whether the thought's been there before or not. And then, interestingly enough, in a private session I offered earlier today, some of this very stuff was offered to that particular individual. And I found that synchronistic. So I'll be curious to see, not that I'll tell you, how much of an overlap there is in what comes out of my mouth versus what Osiris had to say this morning. But what occurred to me this morning, and maybe I would be well served to put this in a little bit of context. This morning I was doing some, I'll call it some healing work. Partly it was forgiveness, but it certainly went beyond that. What my intention was, what my core intention was to do some work on completing old relationships, to finish, call it karma, call it contract, soul contract, call it, I don't know, multiple things. And what I was seeking to do was come to completion there, so that I wasn't carrying forward leftover emotion, leftover self-judgment, leftover judgment of the other people, lingering resentment. What else was I not wanting to carry forward? Well, a sense of loss. Lots of things. And in that process, which I must say felt very good and is a very powerful thing to work toward, and I'll get to that more later, I believe. But what came forth was about love. Now, for me, the most important aspect of love on this path, the most important facet of love on this path, is that love is accepting. And that to me is what's meant by unconditional love. It's not that, it's not that there's judgment of others in our relationships with them. It's that judgment has been transcended. That's what unconditional love means to me. In other words, I accept you as a divine being. I accept you as a soul incarnated in and through a physical body, incarnated within physicality and the polarities, incarnated within your own personal history and story, incarnated within your own habit patterns of thought and emotion, incarnated within your karma, if you will, incarnated within and through all of these aspects And unconditional love to me is seeing that, yes, you are expressing in all those ways through all those things, but that that's not who you are. You are the unlimited eternal master. You are the divinity. You are the soul. And again, that in and of itself is not new in my thought process or patterns, but it was at a different level experientially for me, that I was connecting with that divinity of those that I was seeking closure with, completeness with, in the patterns that we've experienced in the past. And that took me to a new place. And that new place, again, revolves around this energy of love. And, well, the best way that I can describe it or offer it to you is this. This is the encapsulation of it. And, well, I'll put it this way. All love is self-love, and all love is unconditional or eternal or immeasurable. Now, what the heck am I talking about? And maybe you got that immediately, but it took me a little bit in playing with what I was experiencing to come to that, to have those words show up there as the description of what I was going through. And so I'm going to jump now, and I'm not going to jump very far, I don't think, but I'm going to jump now to another of those spiritual concepts that gets talked about so much or mentioned so much that in many ways it becomes this background thing that we use as a mental tool, but it's not experiential. And that particular tool is this, that it's the idea that the world at large and all of our relationships and all the people in our lives are mirrors for us. And if that's true, and I believe it is, mentally it makes sense to me, and experientially it feels right. And certainly, as I've walked on my path, some of my most profound realizations experientially have come from recognizing that. But how that leads back to all love is self-love is this. If everyone else is a mirror, and how I interact with someone else, what I experience with them, what I experience from them, is feeding back to me information, experience about my own connection within myself, then if I love someone else, what does the mirror say? If that other is a mirror for me, then my love outward is a mirror for my love inward. All love is self-love. Now, I want to take this further. And I want to talk about something that also, again, it's been shared in channeling, and then I've used after it came through in the channeling. And that's this, the idea that the degree to which we love ourselves, the maximum level of that, is the degree to which we are able to love anyone else, because love in this sense is a vibration. And so the degree that our heart is closed, that we do not love ourselves, that we judge ourselves, to that same degree, that's how much we limit our love for others. Because the judgment that we have for ourselves is the judgment that we project out onto others. And so whatever degree we are able to love ourselves and thereby able to receive love from others, it is that same, that's the maximum level that we can love anybody else. Now, what does that say? What does that say? Well, again, in one of the earliest channelings I ever did, Osiris and the Apostle Andrew were individually both touching upon a number of the teachings from Christianity. And that's my background, Catholicism. So it's a terminology that I can connect with. And one of the teachings, and I don't know where it comes from, I'm not a Bible scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but one of the teachings is love your neighbor as yourself. And what was presented by Osiris and Andrew on multiple occasions was that that is not so much a commandment, although that's how a lot of Christianity takes it, as it is a description of energetic law, spiritual law. And essentially, it's what I've been talking about here, that the maximum degree you love yourself is the maximum degree you love your neighbor. And if I just rephrase that slightly, love your neighbor as yourself, to be this, you can only love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then that's a clear, concise statement of this energetic law. And so that brings me to another piece of this that has been bouncing around perhaps in the subconscious, right on the edges of consciousness this whole time. But that idea goes back to what I was connecting with and experiencing this morning, is that self-love, and I'm not talking about arrogance, I'm not talking about that kind of, oh, he really loves himself kind of energy. I'm talking about true self-love, which is true self-acceptance, which is the clearing away of those self-judgments. That kind of self-love is perhaps our most important job in walking this path. Learning to love ourselves, opening to that self-love, is the most important thing that we can do to move into our empowerment. And again, that goes very contrary to a lot of these teachings that are out there on various spiritual paths that are about service. And yet, in my mind, it also doesn't. It doesn't actually contradict them. On a surface level, it may appear to. Because the idea of service goes back to giving unconditionally. But the fact is, as long as we have conditions in our life, as long as we have judgments in our life, which are all at the core about us, they may be projected through the mirror out on others, but they're all about us at the core. And they all go back to the only issue that we have as far as I'm concerned, which is that core original agreement that we signed off on. I'm going to go into a body, and then, yes, I'm going to forget that I'm divine. So I don't spiritually remember. I don't experientially know my own value. And so this idea that self-love is the most important thing that we can do, that we can work on, that we can play with, is essentially the idea that says, as I love myself more, I judge myself less. As I judge myself less, I judge others less. As I move more and more toward unconditionality in my love for myself, which every judgment gone is one step closer to unconditional love for myself, which is unconditional love for myself is the awareness of my value as a divine being. It's my awareness of my value intrinsically, not through my doing, not through any way that I attempt to prove it to myself or to others. But as I step into that experiential of a greater degree of unconditionality toward myself, that allows me to let go of judgment toward those others, and it allows me to actually serve. Now, part of that is interesting to me. This piece is perhaps one of the more interesting pieces of this whole puzzle for me that I'm offering here today, is that how much of service is entered into out of obligation, I think most people would agree with. We do this because we're supposed to. We do this because we have injunctions like love your neighbor as yourself, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or howsoever you treat the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. Again, these three all come from the Christian tradition, but I believe the energy is out there in other traditions as well. And those who are, and they are many, those who are walking the spiritual path, not because they are truly desiring to seek their own empowerment or self-mastery or divinity, but because they are desiring to appear spiritual, which again, I believe is many. They're not doing it. They're not doing service because they truly feel called to offer service. They're doing service because they think it's going to earn brownie points with God. They're doing service because they think that that's the way that you prove your spirituality, which is just a spiritual version of trying to prove your worth. It's a spiritual version of trying to get your value. And in truth, when service happens, it's very joyful. I find it so laughable when people will say, oh, I don't get anything out of the service. I do it for the joy. Well, that's getting joy out of giving service. And there's nothing wrong with that, except the delusion that says you're doing it actually for the other. No, you're doing it for yourself, for that joy. And that's okay. That's beautiful. That's acknowledging that you have as much value as they do. We cannot prove our worth by prostrating ourselves before those we judge to be worse off than we are, which is another one of those things about service that doesn't, to me, get looked at, which is how much service is attached to judgment. That we are looking for the less well off that we can somehow lift through our efforts. But that's judgment. That's judgment. And it doesn't matter if that service is sending 30 cents a month to pay for their meals, or whether that service is to send $1 million to a foundation, or whether that service is to go be a candy striper in a hospital, or whatever other way of volunteering. And I'm not saying that those forms of service don't have any value. What I am saying is they are not what most people tend to think them to be. Number one, they're not unconditional. There is some sort of judgment going on, even if it is only the judgment of, I'm going to get spiritual brownie points with God by doing this. And so, let's move back toward that core where we started, which is about self-love and learning to open that door more fully. Because that is the way that we expand the love we can share in the world as well. Now, one thing that occurred to me, again, experientially, and then the idea came, the understanding came, as I was in the experience or after I was in the experience, and that's this. All the love that I have experienced for something or someone else, from ice cream to people, all of that is also a reflection of what's going on inside of me. So that is a reflection of my connection to my own energy of self-love. Even though it's directed outward at ice cream or other people. Can you tell I like ice cream? Or love it in the terms we're talking about here. Even though it's directed outward, it is a mirroring of my love for myself. Now, one of the things that I was, it's again, not the first time I have ever connected with this idea, but one of the things in looking back, and part of what I was doing was seeking a greater degree of completion with old partnerships, with my wives, ex-wives, with others that I've had significant relationships with. And one thing that I can clearly see in looking back is that as I have moved forward in each one of them, I have been able to expand the love that I felt both in what I was offering, what I was giving, and in what I was receiving. And so for me, that's one way of marking the progression I've made on this spiritual path. Because I can and do feel more love now than I used to. If you heard, I don't know, one of the programs several weeks ago, I talked about how numb I was emotionally as a child. And the last relationship, the love that I felt was so much more than anything else I've ever experienced prior to that point. And I told this to a number of people personally, but I'll tell it to you. Why not? I finally knew what the love songs were about. I'd never felt anything like that before. Not that I hadn't been in love, but I hadn't been able to believe that I deserved to the degree that I was able in this last partnership. And so in opening that door, what was I demonstrating? I was demonstrating this mirror back to myself that I had come into a much greater sense of my own personal value. And went through a lot of pain, had to clear and heal a lot of things to get there. But it was an incredible opening for me in my own self-love, my own capacity for that. And I'm not sure your status in terms of relationships, partnerships, have them, don't have them. Right now I'm not in a partnership, and that's okay. That's not my focus. And that's fine. That's not a bad state for any of us to be in. Especially when we're choosing it consciously. But I am still able to be more open than I've ever been before. I believe that's another piece of what allows me to do this program and to share the pieces that I'm now sharing out to whoever's listening. That not that long ago, I would have been pretty shy about sharing even with some close friends. And yet, I've broken open more of those things. Does that mean I'm without judgment? Hell no. Does that mean I'm in unconditional love for myself or anyone else? No, it doesn't. But it means I'm making progress. And hopefully, you can perceive those kinds of places yourself. And one way that does come up in relation to this, and I have not had this way directly, but one way that does come up for a lot of people, has come up for a lot of people, is when they become parents, when they have a child born into the world to them. And the opening that takes place there, the love that they feel that transcends anything else they've been able to connect with. So maybe you have that experience in your background that you can connect with here as one of those kinds of experiences where, whoa, you feel more able to love. You feel more love flowing out of you and to you, etc. And It's not that that level is maintained. And I'll repeat, and it feels very true to me, and maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm not a biological parent, so I don't have the direct experience. But every parent I've ever seen eventually demonstrates that they do not have unconditional love for their child. And that's okay, because they don't have unconditional love for themselves. That's kind of the point. It's the mirror. And that doesn't mean we have to like everyone. That's not about what unconditional love is either. Love and like are two different things. But that unconditional love says, I honor the divinity that you are from the divinity I am. It's a variation on namaste. Namaste basically is I greet or I welcome the divine in you. I honor the divine in you from that place in me, that divine in me, where when we are both in that place, we are one. And that's what we're moving toward as we move into and toward mastery, is we're moving into that place where we can experience the divinity directly, not just as an idea. And so, coming back around to my partnerships, to the concept of when the children are born, those moments or experiences of heightened love that take you beyond the scope of what you have felt previously. What I want to bring out in relation to that is this, that in order to get to that expansion, for me in that partnership, for parents when that child is born, the inner work has to be done before the experience can be had. And so this is like healing. You know, when people talk about Jesus or other masters and the healing, the miracles that they do, there's a piece that often gets lost, I think. And that's this. The master, Jesus or the other master, whoever it might be, that performs the miracle does not simply do that haphazardly. They don't just go around throwing miracles at everyone who crosses their path. Where the miracles take place, externally, it looks like a miracle. But where the miracles actually take place are in the preparation of the one who receives the miracle. In other words, if they're not ready to receive that light that transforms things from an external perspective in an instant, if they've not done all the work to get to that place, the miracle is not going to happen. And if you go back, at least some, if not all, of Jesus' miracles that are listed in the New Testament, part of what's said is, your faith has made you well. And what that means is, what you've done on your own, the preparations you've made, the shifting you've done, the healing you've done, has opened you to the place where you are ready to make this leap. And this goes back to a concept I've talked at length about more than at least once, and I've brought up multiple times, which is the idea of wiggle room, where we have the energetic world that we live in, the things that we know to be true, the things that we can accept completely, that we have experience of. That is a realm of energy that we live in. And then we have this wiggle room, I think is the best word for it. I love it the best. Anyway, we have this area around us. So if that known world is a sphere, if it's a ball, call it our aura. There's another ball around that that's a little bit bigger. And the room between those two balls is the wiggle room. And that's where we are exploring. And that's part of what I'm seeking to do here through this program, is go exploring out there and bring things into a more experiential nature for myself and through me to each of you. And that's kind of a goal here for me. But that's how the process works of expansion, is we know what we know. These are our experiences. And then we are offered something that's a little bit different. And we don't know if we can take it in fully. We don't know if it's absolute truth for us yet. We don't know what it might mean in the bigger picture of our lives. And so we're willing to explore the possibility, but we don't fully own it yet. And then there's that realm outside of the ball that encases the wiggle room, and that's everything else. Those are the things that we cannot possibly conceive of yet. And those things we're not ready for. We're not ready for. They're part of the all of reality. They're part of the all of the truth, but we're not ready for them. And so they don't come in, or if they do come in, they don't stick. We're not ready. We're not open to them yet. We don't love ourselves enough to expand to that experience yet. We love ourselves enough to explore in the wiggle room, though. Now, let's bring that back into context with this idea of self-love. The concept of loving ourselves, hopefully everyone hearing this will agree with. It makes sense. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. But how do we do that? Well, multiple ways, multiple tools that I've offered here in the program at various times that have been offered through channeling at multiple times, such as the forgiveness. I'm willing to forgive myself. Working consciously and directly with the self-love. I'm willing to love and accept myself exactly as I am now. Or I love and accept myself exactly as I am now. Or I choose to love myself exactly as I am now. These are our tools that can help awaken this for ourselves, that can help move some of that wiggle room of, well, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Make that idea stronger until it becomes part of our known world, our known energy, our known experiential energy, not just the mental ideas. Because that wiggle room is full of mental ideas that are not yet experiential. It's when they become experiential, when we know them in the cells of our body, that we own them. Now, what I want to talk about now, though, and this is another piece of what came in that was new for me today, is another way to look at what self-love is. As a degree of willingness to let go of our self-definition. What do I mean by that? Well, we have things that we define ourselves as and through. I'm a male or I'm a female. Well, within the body, yes. Within the soul, no. So in order to connect fully with our divinity, one of the things we ultimately will need to do is let go of the limitation of holding on to our gender, which I find an interesting phenomenon, that there is a lot more movement toward androgyny. Now, that's not to say that it's wrong to exhibit male tendencies or female tendencies, whatever they might be within a cultural situation. And across cultures, what it means to be male and female can be very, very different. So a lot of that is definitely defined within the local culture. But there is a lot of talk about androgyny. There is experience of people going through sex change operations, changing their gender because internally they feel different than they are externally. And that can be an act of great self-love. To be willing to go through that, it takes a heck of a lot of energy, a heck of a lot of willingness to buck social convention. And so there's no need to impose that we're all supposed to be androgynous. That would be judgment as well. But the attachment to our gender, the attachment to our genitalia, the attachment to particular forms that we might express our maleness or our femaleness out into the world, or even the masculine and feminine energies, to take it to that next octave, that's what we need to let go of. And so for me, that energy of self-love, that is the willingness to let go of self-definition. It is the willingness to shed the things that we know right now the things that we have in that ball of truth that are experiential for us so far. In the very center of that ball of truth, I now conceive a black hole. And I'm going to use the analogy of the computer and compare that to the recycle bin. You've used a file. It's worked for you for a long time. You've used a program. It's worked for you a long time. It's no longer useful. Boom, in the recycle bin. It has served its purpose. At one point, it was an expansion. At one point, it was in your wiggle room. You didn't know if it was true. And it served you for a while, and now you're done with it. And so it's time to let it go. And that's another piece of what I came to in this whole process of I was seeking to complete the energies, the leftover energies of those relationships. And in order to do that, I had to let go of things, resentment, pain, guilt, shame, that had been attached to those relationships. I had to let those go if I was going to expand beyond those relationships. And it's not that I hadn't done any of that work. I had. But there was more to do. But if I was attached, and to whatever degree I was attached to those definitions of myself, as the wounded one who got abandoned, as the victim, as blah, 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 as whatever, anything I'm holding on to in that way, that is less than the picture of my divinity. Anything I'm holding on to needs to go if I'm going to completely step into that mastery, step into that divinity. And so that to me is an important addition to this vision of what we know to be true. How many things have you known to be true in your life that you have transcended? Well, from silly things like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, for those of you who also have a Christian background, to myths and stories and fables that were told as children that no longer fit with your view of the world, to, well, perhaps some of the moral or ethical precepts that you grew up with about right and wrong, good and evil, good and bad. I know I've had to shed a lot of those, and they served for the time that I had them, and then I outgrew them. And to the degree that I've been able to shed them, that also affects how much I am in this self-love, self-acceptance. Is it bad that I had those before I outgrew them? No. Is that something to be judged, that I did outgrow them? No. Is it something to be judged that I had them before I let them go? No. No. They were perfect in their time, and it's perfect now that I no longer hold on to them. And that piece of the self-love puzzle, to me, is a very important one. That self-love means willing to let go of our limited self. The definition and the attachment to who we have been up to this point in time. So, good luck with that. I know it's going to be a big part of what I'm doing for a while here. And, you know, along the way, perhaps I'll share more about the tools that I come up with to use in that particular portion of the healing process. Anyway, let's do some channeling. Before we do that, I do want to let you know that on August 31st, so a little less than 2 weeks, on Friday night, I will be doing the second gateway activation for August, and this is going to be the gateway of uncertainty. And so it's going to be dealing with, well, how do we deal with all the uncertainty, all the change that's taking place right now, and helping us to ground into energies that will allow us to do that. So I would invite you to join me there, and that's enough of a commercial. if you're interested, if you want to sign up for that, just let me know. Now, as always, going into the channeling, I would ask you to just allow your breathing to deepen and allow yourself to let go of any tension, any stress or strain that might be there on whatever level, physical, mental, emotional, any level, while I do the toning to adjust the frequencies and align our energies all together and with whatever being is going to join us to speak here today. So, Hello and welcome, dear ones. This is Katumi, come to be with you today. So, if you're not in a place or in a situation where that would be, shall we say, embarrassing to do, why don't you do that? Take a deep breath and let it out with a sigh or with some sound. No need to turn it into a question at the end, but... And give yourself permission as you're doing that to allow it to actually be a release, to be a clearing, to be a letting go. Now, we would say that doing that is creating. It's creating. In the beginning was the word. Sound is creative. As the Hindus. The sound of creation. Vibration is underneath all creation. Interesting. Interesting, because when we do that, when we well, that feels more like uncreating. Letting go, getting rid of, does it not? But in every death, there is rebirth. In every ending, there is beginning. And so what is that? Connecting with sound as you release is a way of carrying through, completing the releasement so that the new can be formed. And so allow yourself to try that again. And maybe it just got louder or worse or more intense as you chose to let that go within this context, that as you're letting it go, something else is being reborn. Something else is being created out of that. The yin and the yang within the masculine is always the feminine. Within the feminine is always the masculine. Within death, there is always birth. Within birth, there is always death. Think about it. How many deaths have you died? Not of the physical, but of the ego, of the mental, of ideas, of experiences, of relationships, of vanity. How many deaths have you died in this lifetime? So within this life, there is death. There is death. Within the death of your awareness, of your divine experience, of your divine existence, of your divine value, that death of that awareness allows you to have this life, allows you to be in body at this time. And in order to reclaim, in order to reconnect with, in order to re-experience, in order to re-express more fully your own divine essence, many of your human illusions will have to die. And so, choose to consciously cross the bridge of death, departure, ending, and birth, re-entry, and beginning, using sound. Another purpose for the toning at the beginning of these channelings is that it is birthing the new that will come through. And we do not mean the words, although that is part of it. What we mean is the experiences that the words flow into, co-create with you. And so allow yourself to sound your life. There is a great power. And in many cultures, this has been recognized through time. There is a great power in expressing loudly when death comes calling. The lamentations. Because they are about completing the energy that is leaving. So that the rebirth, the birth without that particular person, or in your case, in healing, in walking on your path, without that old energy, can be as complete as possible. That rebirth can be as far away from the old energy as possible. Not because there's anything wrong with the old energy, but because you are finished with it. Because you are finished with it. And so give yourself that permission to complete, to finish, to move on, to move away, to transcend. And you will know your light, and you will know your mastery, and you will know your love, and you will love yourself more fully, more quickly, and more easily. And more power to you. Or to be more precise in the terminology, more power through you. Much love now and always, dear ones. Namaste. Thank you, Katsumi. And as always, thanks to each and every one of you co-creating this, whether you were here live or whether you are listening for the first time through the recording. Doug, go ahead and start those chimes up whenever you are ready. As always, I could not create this without you, my friends, so thank you so much for your energy, your intention, your support. And I do encourage you to contact me as you feel called to let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear more of, your questions, topics that you'd like to hear, and once more, any guests that you might recommend. Anyway, my friends, I will be back again, same time, same place next week. Having gone digging Herkimer diamonds in the meantime, I'll let you know how that goes, if I remember. And You never know where you're going to go. You never know where this show's going to go until you get there, until we get there. But there's one thing I do know. We are all divine already, and we will all return there eventually. It's only a matter of time and of choice. Much love, my friends. Namaste.